I'm Brittany Harden-Tengue, a senior manager with KPMG, and I am fascinated by the practice of transfer pricing and its impact on the global market. Join me each episode as I explore the transfer pricing world with specialists who will explain the ins and outs of this niche practice where tax meets economics. I'm really glad to have both of you here on this episode of Exploring Transfer Pricing. We are going to be talking about Pillar 2, which is coming from the OECD Inclusive Framework. A lot of folks are wondering, how is Pillar 2 going to affect my transfer pricing, and what should I be doing about it? Knowing that deadlines are coming up and the requirement to be compliant with this is looming, I have today with me two people from our European firms, Lucia Baroni, who's a partner with KPMG Italy and was formerly with the Italian Tax Authority. Worked in the APA large taxpayer office for about 15 years and is here now with us at KPMG and joining us to provide insights on our podcast. So welcome, Lucia.
Thank you.
And I also have Kathy Lim, who is a partner in KPMG Belgium and has had extensive experiences globally, starting her career at KPMG Singapore. She worked in China and is just brilliant and has so much to add to our conversation. Thank you for being here. Welcome.
Thanks, Brittany. Thanks for having us.
Before we get into the specific interactions with transfer pricing, it's helpful to revisit what Pillar 2 is and where it came from. The Pillar 2 project is part of an OECD Inclusive Framework's effort to ensure a minimum level of taxation for multinational groups. This initiative builds on previous work to address base erosion and profit shifting, BEPS. Pillar 2 will apply to multinational groups with an annual turnover equal to or above 750 million euros, and the minimum level of taxation is 15%. So, Lucia, why is this particularly relevant now?
Starting from the year 2024, many countries have adopted Pillar 2, including Italy. And in those countries, companies that meet this threshold in two of four prior periods need to review the potential application of these new minimum tax rules. Given that at the end of 2024 is fast approaching, most of these large multinational groups are well underway in working through how Pillar 2 applies to their operations.
This is certainly top of mind amongst large global taxpayers, especially as they are closing out their year in compliance documentation, preparing tax returns, and notably their country-by-country or C-by-C report. A C-by-C report contains aggregate data on the global allocation of income, profit, taxes paid, and economic activity among tax jurisdictions in which it operates. We've previously spoken about this on the podcast, but it's getting more attention now. Kathy, will you talk with us about that?
The C-by-C report is definitely now back in the spotlight. C-by-C was introduced as part of the initial BEPS project. It is introduced as part of the Action 13 PP documentation package. And the goal of the C-by-C, when it was first introduced, was really to help tax authorities worldwide assess transfer pricing risk. But now with Pillar 2, what we're seeing is that Pillar 2 has somewhat changed the way we're used to looking at the C-by-C. In the past, the C-by-C is mostly a reporting requirement, but it did not really have a direct impact on the amount of taxes payable by a group. But now we know that C-by-C is the basis for determining whether a group gets relief across its jurisdictions from a Pillar 2 perspective, because the transitional safe harbor test under Pillar 2 bases itself on certain data from the C-by-C. And to be able to use the transitional safe harbor is important for groups, because meeting the transitional safe harbor test means that the top-up tax for a given jurisdiction would be deemed to be zero.
Not only would there be no additional Pillar 2 due in that country, but also if the transitional safe harbor is met, companies won't have the extensive minimum tax compliance obligations in that country. So from a compliance side, being able to qualify for the safe harbor in a jurisdiction will save a company the need to do potentially hundreds of adjustments. What are you seeing companies do now?
What I'm seeing now is that groups are reviewing how they are preparing their CBC, whether or not this report is considered to be a qualified C-by-C report.
And the Inclusive Framework has published extensive guidance on what qualified means in terms of Pillar 2. This concept is new and didn't exist when C-by-C came into play in 2016. So some companies that have had a country-by-country report for almost a decade are analyzing their C-by-C and realizing that their C-by-C isn't qualified. Kathy, what other things are companies thinking about?
the data sources they're using in preparing their C-by-C. And in some cases, it could be beneficial for groups to consider, for instance, using different data sources for different jurisdictions. One other aspect is from a timing perspective, when groups actually prepare their C-by-C, because some groups now need it in the year itself to assess their potential Pillar 2 top-up tax exposure for that given year. Because of Pillar 2, in some cases, we're revisiting the basics, revisiting definitions of terms in the C-by-C, and also cases where groups, for instance, are not required to prepare the C-by-C, but are subject to Pillar 2. There are areas that we have not had to think about previously, which are now on the table.
That's an excellent assessment, Kathy. I recall preparing the very first C-by-C report for a client, and it was a massive undertaking, which was especially challenging for what, at the time, we thought was just this new compliance exercise. But now we're able to use this report to determine whether or not you can qualify for a transitional C-by-C safe harbor for your Pillar 2 rules. It's just a great example of the evolution that we've gone on this journey with BEPS since we started. It's also important to note, this is another thing I've noticed that surprises a lot of taxpayers, is that it's not just a one and done. You have to qualify in each jurisdiction with your C-by-C. You have to do it on a country-by-country basis for your country-by-country report. As a transfer pricing person, I find it fascinating that the arm's length principle is clearly included in the Pillar 2 guidance. Lucia, could you talk to us more a little bit about that?
The arm's length principle remains central to Pillar 2. Adjustments made to transfer pricing, as well as other year-end adjustments, must be considered in the calculation of the effective tax rate for Pillar 2. Pillar 2 requires groups to determine their effective tax rate for a given year, and so when income and taxes are recognized, really matters. The first thing that we should talk about is the CBCR report. Lots of groups have adopted the practice of moving transfer pricing adjustments from the year when they are reflected in their accounts to the appropriate tax year. This is something that the OECD Pillar 2 rule specifically cites as something that would disqualify an M&E group's CBC report from being used for the transitional CBCR safe harbor. So groups that have adopted this approach are reversing course. Second, when you get into the full GLOBI rules, the rules include a requirement that cross-border transactions be priced at arm's length. So if groups have scenarios where their accounting and tax records differ, this is definitely something to focus on. Third, there is the issue of transfer pricing adjustment, which might be driven by businesses or by tax authorities. There are specific rules about these adjustments, but the key issue to be aware of is that you typically can get a refund for top-up tax paid. So if you pay top-up tax in respect of a low tax jurisdiction and there is a subsequent transfer pricing adjustment that reduces the income allocated to that jurisdiction, it is a tough luck.
This is where the different jurisdictional rules come into play. There are certain jurisdictions that say if you're going to make a transfer pricing adjustment after the tax return has been filed, then it can only increase taxable income. It can't decrease the interaction of these rules. And if you only do that unilaterally versus bilaterally, that also can impact the arm's length pricing. And then now you're throwing in this, we've got a timing concern, we've got this Pillar 2 consideration. It was always important to get it right and always best to do it timely, but now we've got this added pressure.
This whole discussion around Pillar 2 and the arm's length principle requires some deep diving to consider whether or not, and uncovering whether or not there could be certain transactions that impact the global income or loss that may need to be adjusted under the Pillar 2 rules.
We know this is a challenge. We have an additional reason to get it right. And operational transfer pricing has been around for a while, but that is a solution here. Kathy, do you want to expand on that for us?
Pillar 2 calculations in itself, they're complex. There are so many adjustments needed. Groups would want, to the extent possible, to reduce the number of adjustments needed to their transfer pricing to avoid making an already very complex process even more complex. To avoid having to make these Pillar 2 adjustments to global income or loss, groups will want to make sure that their transfer pricing are not only priced at arm's length, but also that they have been implemented at arm's length in line with their policy. That's where this OTP discussion comes into the picture, because it's never really enough to have a policy in place, but not have the implementation reflect the policy itself. This becomes even more of an imperative with Pillar 2. What groups really need to do is they need to make sure that their transfer prices are monitored periodically to reflect their policy, that their annual TP adjustments, if they're making any, are booked on both sides of the transaction in both countries, captured in the same period. In cases where groups do not manage to book their TP adjustments before the books close, in certain countries, and perhaps in many countries, these could be challenged by tax authorities that the outcome in the given year is not at arm's length. There's been a lot of discussion on the market between companies on tools, solutions to make the data exercise for Pillar 2 calculations more automated and efficient. We also need to take a step back. Groups would also want to make sure that the data that feeds the Pillar 2 calculations incorporates arm's length results. And so groups are having to now rethink whether or not they have sufficient resources and access to the right tools to ensure that their operational transfer pricing are well monitored and appropriately applied.
The data that feeds it, we can have all of the fancy tools in the world, but going to the source and making sure if you can get the policy to apply at the initial transaction from the start, it makes the rest of it much easier.
Many groups are relying on very manual processes to adjust and to try to monitor their transfer pricing. And now is a good time, opportune time to revisit automating their OTP process, whether it's with the help of Power BI or Alteryx. Getting the operational transfer pricing right would at the outset help mitigate the potential challenges on the arm's length nature of the transactions and consequently the potential challenges on the Pillar 2 outcome. With Pillar 2 being such a difficult and complex topic, I cannot imagine what future challenges by tax authorities would really look like. It's going to be really difficult.
Challenges. Lucia, with your experience from the tax authorities' perspective, how do you anticipate this playing out?
The view and approach on a transaction from the perspective of two different tax authorities can be very different. We know that controversy in transfer pricing is frequent, and resolving these disputes is challenging. The tools available to taxpayers to manage these disputes include, for example, APAs and MAPs. These mechanisms are crucial for avoiding double taxation and ensuring that adjustments are recognized by both tax authorities. Transfer pricing is already a very controversial issue in tax matters. The fact that transfer pricing is relevant for Pillar 2 makes the situation even more complex. Adjustments to align with the arm's length principles are required for Pillar 2 purposes, even if they occur years later.
I appreciate this journey so much because the timing is perfect here. As we've said, we're coming off of the scary season in the United States. We've just wrapped up Halloween in October. And we started this discussion saying Pillar 2 is here. It's big. It can be a bit scary as part of the implementation. But as we transition now into November, we celebrate Thanksgiving and look at gratitude and express gratefulness. I am grateful that you all have come here with solutions and, you know, the underlying elements of transfer pricing continue to be tenets even with Pillar 2. Especially under Pillar 2 of having certainty in your arm's length pricing and avoiding double taxation. And we have solutions to achieve both of those things in your transfer pricing in order to make all of your Pillar 2 work less scary, whether that's pursuing an OTP solution so that you can make your adjustments in more real time or and monitor your arm's length results in a more timely fashion. Or as Lucia outlined, with controversy prevention or alternative dispute resolution, if you can protect your transfer pricing, so to speak, and get comfortable through either an APA to say we can depend on the arm's length nature of our transfer pricing, that would be ideal. In the spirit of gratefulness and gratitude, I'm so happy that you both are here to share with me and to explain so much so well. So any other key takeaways or things that you all want to make sure we cover and share before we wrap up?
Well, TP has an impact on Pillar 2. Pillar 2 has an impact on TP. Mm-hmm. And these new rules, they impact so many parts of an organization. And when it comes to transfer pricing professionals, we need to pick the bull by its horns. Transfer pricing teams should be very much part of the conversation on Pillar 2 now and understand what actions can and should be taken, right? Whether or not they should change the way they monitor their OTPs. They need to understand how a change in TP policies could have a potentially significant impact on Pillar 2. It's time to take action now, if not already.
Just as it is in transfer pricing, it is crucial to implement effective procedures for Pillar 2 purposes. It is important to involve not just the tax professionals, but also the accounting and the administration teams. All these stakeholders need to work together to manage both Pillar 2 and transfer pricing effectively. Both transfer pricing and Pillar 2 require a coordinated effort and a comprehensive approach to ensure compliance and effective management.
All hands on deck. Well, thank you again and appreciate you joining me for this episode.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me on this adventure in transfer pricing. See you next time.